Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. If you're looking for hallucinatory, haunting tales, you don't need to look any further than Ling Ma's debut short story collection, Bliss Montage. Ling's book features spellbinding stories about a woman who lives with 100 of her ex-boyfriends and a professor who has a portal in the closet of his office. There's also a story about a drug called G that makes you invisible but has some dangerous side effects. Ling has also proven her predictive powers with her award-winning 2018 novel, Severance. The book's storyline about the Shen fever pandemic sweeping across the world seemed to predict the coronavirus outbreak. Whether she predicted it or not, Ling had to deal with the fallout of COVID isolation. She spent that time writing the surreal short stories that make up Bliss Montage.
I guess many of the stories were written mostly within the first year of the pandemic, so when we were undergoing lockdown, and so it was a very solitary time. And I guess what came back to me were relationships, I suppose. If there's any unifying theme through the stories, often it's the relationships between family members and friends and ex-boyfriends. Many of the stories deal with that.
Mm-hmm. You describe your subconscious as being a million times smarter than you. How so?
Well, I think this is true for pretty much any artist or doing any creative work. You're usually trying to get out of your own way. I often go into a story not necessarily knowing where it would lead. We might begin with like an impossible premise or a premise that just feels almost impossible to resolve. And then we go and see where it leads, I guess. I kind of let maybe the story lead the way. The characters tell me what's happening. And I feel that's the case for most things that I write. But definitely for the stories in Bliss Montage, I entered each story pretty blindly.
Mm-hmm. The opening story in Bliss Montage is called Los Angeles, and it's about a woman who lives in a mansion with 100 of her ex-boyfriends. Can you tell us about this story?
Yeah, I think the initial premise came from a dream, probably, and it was about, in the dream, I was married to a very wealthy man, and so I thought, great, now I can get all my ex-boyfriends to come, and they were all artists or do all sort of creative types. And I thought they can just come live at the mansion, and this is like the greatest artist residency ever. And I think it was something about guys I had dated and how nobody was ever really able to make things work in terms of just holding down a job and being able to pursue their creative projects fully. I thought, wow, this is a great way out. This is a solution for us all. The story turned out to be a little bit different than the dream. I didn't know that the story would also grapple with one of the main characters' exes who was abusive to her, and it's about domestic violence. So I kind of springboarded into the story on this sort of thinking about wish fulfillment and thinking about subverting capitalism, and maybe this idea also of being so protected by wealth that you're maybe protected by from your own feelings or from your own past in some way. And it doesn't work. I think the past catches up to her.
Yeah, very well said. Is this unusual, or is this a usual process for you to base your stories on dreams like you did with Los Angeles, or is that kind of rare?
I don't know. I think some of the stories in Bliss Montage, well, quite a few actually, are at least with the initial premise, I started off thinking about a dream. Usually, if a dream sticks with me, there's some kind of anxiety source that is still pretty potent to me. So we kind of try and figure out what the anxiety is. I mean, anxiety is a great inspiration source for writing fiction.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Back in the day, you interviewed authors for indie magazines that were published in Chicago. And one of the authors you interviewed is Karen Russell, one of our favorite authors and a former guest on our show, Beta. Did that conversation with Karen have an impact on your writing?
I don't exactly remember what she said specifically that sort of made me realize that I could work in a more surreal framework, in a more sort of fantastical framework. I think she had just released her first collection of short stories, which I absolutely loved reading, and they were kind of surreal and fantastical. I think it was more, maybe in speaking with her, the freedom that she felt in starting with these more wild and fantastical premise that made me realize I could maybe go the same route. Also, when I was speaking to her, it was over the phone, and I just remember in the middle of the conversation, a squirrel came into our home through the porch. So I just remember trying to get the squirrel out of our living room at the same time while speaking to her. It was a very strange conversation, but she was very fun to speak with.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and that first book, St. Lucy's Home for Girls Raised by Wolves, that first short story collection is great. Yeah, I can see why it would have kind of an impact on you. You worked as a fact checker at Playboy magazine, and you also wrote girl copy for the magazine. What is girl copy?
Oh, well, it's mostly the text that accompanies sort of like the pictorials of the girls, and that was called girl copy. Most of my job entailed fact checking, but occasionally I wrote for the magazine and I did some editing as well.
Did you write any of the stories that are in Bliss Montage while you were working at Playboy?
I think the two oldest stories in the collection, which I wrote before Severance or concurrent with Severance, is Yeti Lovemaking and Los Angeles. I think it was mostly Yeti Lovemaking that I do remember writing that when I was working at the Playboy office. And really, it was kind of inspired by working there. Playboy projected this sort of archetype of like masculinity, and we would have these, I remember looking at these fashion spreads, you know, like if you want to look like Steve McQueen, you know, you buy this pair of parasol sunglasses, or if you want to emulate Cary Grant, you should buy this pair of wingtips or something like that. And I was thinking about these archetypes of masculinity, but I thought, what if you push that even further to the extreme? Like, what does hysterical masculinity look like? And so I started thinking about Yetis and Sasquatch. And I just think like the ultimate form of masculinity is a self-enclosed, completely autonomous being who doesn't need anyone, who's very capable and strong and needs absolutely nothing from anyone else. So this idea of this Yeti, I guess, trying to domesticate himself in the story, Yeti Lovemaking, I guess, due to overpopulation, the Yetis have to kind of integrate into our society. And this idea of this Yeti trying to domesticate himself, that was a starting point for it. And then, of course, our main character has sex with the Yeti. So there you go.
Exactly. Indeed. It's a great story, as all the stories in your book are. Well, one of my favorite stories in Bliss Montage is Office Hours. Can you tell us a bit about this one?
Well, yeah. So in Office Hours, it follows this professor of film studies, and she is where she always wanted to end up in life, which is to be on a tenure track, but she's not satisfied. And she takes over the office of her former mentor, who's now retired, and she discovers there's a portal in the closet of the office. And I think I'll just leave it at that before I give away the story.
The one thing that really struck me in that story was at one point, the protagonist, Marie, remembers something that her professor, the mentor, said in a lecture, quote, "It is in the most surreal situations that a person feels the most present, the closest to reality," end quote. Yeah. And I love that. I love that line. Is that something that applies to you?
I think often in the most extreme situations, I think it jolts us out of maybe our everyday complacency, our everyday lull, and extreme situations, including catastrophes. Or maybe it doesn't, you know, in some way. In Severance, it doesn't seem to jolt Candace Chen out of her work lull. But it's interesting you mentioned that, because I just read this wonderful poem the other day. It's called Catastrophe is Next to Godliness. It's a poem by Franny Choi. And if you don't mind, there's like two lines I'd like to read from the end of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, please.
So in the last stanza, I'll just read it. It says, Lord, if I say, bless the cold water you throw on my face, does that make me a costume party? Am I greedy for comfort if I ask you not to kill my friends? If I beg you to press your heel against my throat, not enough to ruin me, but just so I can almost see your face. And the way that the poem starts is, Lord, I confess I want the clarity of catastrophe, but not the catastrophe.
Hmm. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And yeah, that very much applies to this sentence we were talking about. Your novel Severance came out in 2018, and the storyline about the Shen fever pandemic sweeping across the world seemed to predict the COVID-19 pandemic. What was going through your mind when COVID struck and you realized, hey, I covered this like 2 years ago in my novel?
Well, at first I think I was a little bit skeptical, like, oh, of course we all want to, you know, find answers in fiction. But as I think we went into lockdown and we would, you know, started buying masks, and people started tweeting about still having to go to work, I realized that the novel resonates, I think, in our collective frustrations about work and in this kind of shock that maybe that like capitalism still keeps going despite this global sort of catastrophe. And that sense of the surreal, I could really feel how Severance resonated during that time. But at the same time, I did receive some interview requests, but I wasn't interested in analyzing or promoting the book. Yeah, it was the last thing I really wanted to do. And I think at that time, I spent a lot of time in solitude. I became a little bit more isolated. And that's when I was writing Bliss Montage.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want to, and we don't want to get too caught up on the resemblance between the Shen fever and the pandemic, because Severance, your novel, is about a lot more than that.
Yeah, you know, I started writing it, I think I wrote it between 2012 to 2016. And in 2016, when Trump was elected, I thought, oh, my novel is very quaint or somewhat outdated. Because if Severance in some way was supposed to reflect like the absurdity of this era of work life, of capitalism, what it felt like when Trump was elected was that there was a new era of absurdity that was ushered in, and things that would have been read before as satire would have now read as realism. Our relationship to absurdity really changed, I think. So by the time Severance was published in 2018, I was feeling like, oh, maybe this book is a little bit outdated or something.
Right, exactly. I wonder if some of your short stories are going to come true in the next few years. Do you think making love with yetis and sharing houses with 100 ex-boyfriends could become the next big trends?
I really have no idea. You know, I guess because of Severance, I become posited as a seer or something.
Yes,
it's so strange because I just feel mostly blind when I'm writing fiction. I feel like I'm going into these projects pretty blindly. So It's flattering they think of me as a seer, but, you know, who knows?
If you don't mind my asking, what are you working on now?
I'm working on another project. I think it's another fiction project. Before I wrote Severance, I had abandoned a novel, and What I'm seeing in this new project I'm working on, I seem to be maybe rewriting parts of this old novel. So I'm wondering if I'm trying to take another attempt at it or not. The characters are all new and the circumstance is also new, but the questions are the same, and there's an element in it that's also very similar to the abandoned novel. So I think I'm trying to work out some questions that I abandoned before.
Good. Ling Ma, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on Bliss Montage and on Severance. I'm looking forward to reading your next book.
Thank you so much. It was great to speak with you.
Ling Ma is the author of the short story collection Bliss Montage. You can find out more about Ling and her fiction at wpr.org/beta.
Black Flag was a really interesting band in that their sound was too hardcore for the established LA Hollywood punk scene.
Coming up, music journalist Jim Ruland shares the story of how SST Records went from indie giant to nearly non-existent. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.